Hi, I'm Tommy.
Hi, I'm Nemanja. Welcome to Cloud Couch.
It's where we discuss cloud topics from a couch perspective.
Not so comfortable couch.
Welcome back to another episode of Cloud Couch. And today we're going to talk about something that's really a common topic, especially around enterprise as well. It's about cloud lock-in, and that's a bit strong word, but it's usually what's used. Talking about usually if they dare to go into cloud and what that means, and usually then this topic comes up. And we're going to now dig into the topic and tell you what we think about it, and also see what really matters in this topic, because it's not that it's not something you shouldn't talk about, it's just it needs to be understood so you can actually understand it from your business point of view, and that's what we want to do today. So why don't we start with just what is this lock-in, and maybe is there another word we maybe could use as well?
Yes, sure. I personally don't like the word lock-in. I know it is out there and it is being used, but for me it has like a bad association, like you're being in prison. Right. I mean, in prison you're really locked in and there is no way out, right? When we talk about IT topics or cloud topics, I would rather use some other word, like dependency, for example. And definitely there is a dependency. I mean, if you look at today's IT stack of any application or just any setup out there, there is a dependency to everything. Like if you look at the, on-premise data center, all the networking equipment from Cisco, for example, you can't easily replace that with Juniper network, for example, because there is a configuration that is specific to Cisco. If you look at the databases, there is a dependency to which database you choose. Let's say if you're an Oracle and you're using PLSQL store procedures and some features of Oracle database, you have a high dependency to that. It's not easy to move. Programming languages, if you develop your application in Java, you have a dependency to Java. I mean, if you want to rewrite it in Python, it can be done, right? Mm-hmm. You are not locked in like in prison, mm-hmm. but there is a dependency.
Yeah.
And I think the same applies to cloud mm-hmm. as well. And that's why when we talk about cloud lock-in, I would rather talk about what is the dependency, mm-hmm. Why is it there, and also how do you go out of it? Because with a dependency, you can always transition out of it to some other dependency. Mm-hmm. But the question is, what is the cost of it?
So I absolutely agree. And maybe a few other thoughts on the same line there, that it's a common used term, and it's not just a cloud term. That's what we all know, and it's lock in with a vendor, lock in with a technology, lock in with something, and obviously you can
with a wife
with wife,
it's
and so
same
on
like marriage. You can go out, but it will cost you
absolutely, right? and I was gonna just say that it's indeed that same thing. You're locked in on you make choices, and that's what it is. As a business leader, you might make a choice to go to a specific country with your headquarters. So you can say you're locked in, you're there until you choose to change it, and there's a cost associated
with transition.
And and that's really what it's about. But even the bigger thing that we should now try to start with is understanding why you're looking at something, because it's about you're trying to solve something, and in this case it's about risks. It's about understanding something that might happen. So in this case of cloud lock-in or a dependency on a cloud needs to change.
Yeah.
And what happens, so you need to change it. I think this is the thing where
why is it a big topic at all? Why do we even talk about it?
Yeah, and indeed, like, you know, like if you're the way I'm thinking about it is like you are in cloud because of certain advantages and certain benefits that you have. That's the why cloud episode we have as well. And that's something where you need to start. Like, it's not that you randomly chose to be in cloud and now you start mitigating, you know, or having many of the clouds.
No.
So there are benefits and reasons why you're in cloud. And then you need to figure out, okay, what are the risks that you need to hedge or mitigate in some way? Now, let's say by choosing such a big topic, like choosing, you know, which wife or which country to have the headquarters in or which cloud stack to build on. I mean, these are big choices, you know, might be the same as, you know, which technology to choose on a you know, larger scale. So that's really where we should start. And maybe we try to figure out some of these big risks that are relevant to think about as a company.
Yeah. Yes, I would say that there are several risks that people are probably talking about when they talk about cloud locking or cloud dependency. I would say one is regulations, right? So, and compliance. There is always this element of maybe fear that, let's say you're using, in the case of any cloud provider, they are coming from US, right? There is a fear of something might happen on a political scene in the US that might damage my ability to use the cloud, right? Or it could be a regulation on the US side that is imposed to other countries and other companies that are using the cloud that might damage my business. So those are the risks that CIOs, I would say, need to hedge against and need to find a way to mitigate or to manage. But the thing is that the real thing, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Let's walk slow through these different risks here, because there's so much to talk about, and especially this one. This is, I think, number one, and especially for companies that are in Europe or outside of the US, because the US obviously has a very strong political and economic influence, and everything from, you know, having large corporations that are global might have competitors or likely have competitors in the US. And obviously you could even imagine there might be a political debate where a company, say like a Swiss company or a European company, would need to think about how relevant is the risk that for whatever reason there is a political and economic pressure through Amazon towards Europe, you know, that it could be, you know, but that's something the company, the business owners, you know, CEOs, CIOs, and these guys need to think about and quantify and figure out, you know, what's the probability, what's the value at risk, and what are the different means to deal with that. And that's like on the very, you know, highest, you know, on the far end of the spectrum in this discussion. And obviously you have many other smaller, let's say smaller risks in the same bag here around regulation, around, you know, data, privacy, you know, and how to think about that really comes down to each individual company, knowing their business, knowing their users, knowing, you know, the competition, and knowing if these risks are really there, so you're not trying to solve something that's potentially not that relevant, you know.
I think when you're discussing these things, you can be conscious about risks, and I think they're there, right? So
Of course they're there, but some probability, right?
Yes, I mean, we've obviously seen that the previous president went almost like mental, and luckily he's not there anymore. But these risks are there. The question is, what kind of impact it can have into your business, and also how do you compare those risks with some risks that you already have? Let's say if you're a company that has everything on premise today, I think you are dealing with much bigger risks when you're hosting your applications and data in an on-premise data center compared to migrating to cloud. Why? Because first, there you're using some servers from different companies, I don't know, HP, IBM, Dell. You are locked in into those companies, right? You depend on their servers. 10 years down the line, will there be any more servers that you can actually buy from the market? Because this industry is probably dying. The cloud vendors are developing their own servers and creating what they need for them. data centers are slowly fading away. So in 10 years from now, when there is a refresh of your hardware, will you be able to refresh it? I think that that's also a risk. So now we are comparing, let's say, cloud vendors that have millions of customers that have been around for, the, I don't know, 15 years, and where there is a very low probability of them disappearing from the market. Mm-hmm. So what you're gonna bet your business on? These guys, or whatever you have today inside your on-premise data center? It can be inside your building, but that doesn't mean that it's risk-free, right? Just yeah. because it's in your basement, right? It's still some equipment.
Yeah, so definitely. I mean, even that, I maybe slightly think it's a lower risk. It's there. It's something to think about. But in that bag that you now put on the table, well, first of all, it's not about choosing that you get the risk, and you before choosing you had no risks. I mean, mm-hmm. you have risks, obviously, and I think
yes.
associated with your on-prem, I would bet that, you know, this is now generalizing and taking majority. I would say majority of companies have an order of magnitude at least poorer security overall than just going to cloud and doing best practices.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a massive cost and a massive risk. So just going cloud probably solves one of your top three risks if you do it properly there, rather than, you know, not doing anything in your on-prem and just doing whatever you've been doing. Or even if you would realize that actually we need to fix security, so you need to hire people, you need yeah. to have the best of the best. They cost, they're very few, so probably you won't get that. So you will end up with the risks that's bigger than being on cloud in terms of security. That's what I would at least generalize it for yeah. most companies. And this one I think is highly relevant. So you would be open to all the different attacks that are happening, you know, 24/7 online, everything from the worst ransomware to just stealing stuff to just, you know, attacking and making sure your service is not working. This is just you're exposed to much more if you're on-prem versus to if you're on cloud and you would have the services to mitigate that. So that opens up a lot of these other risks that you maybe are not aware of that you're having, that you could trade off and, you know, exchange for. Yeah, you could see, okay, now you get the data privacy regulation compliance risk, but let's understand it in more detail. But at least you traded away some of these obvious risks on security.
Yes.
So let's talk more about this, or you want to comment on something?
Yeah, I'm just thinking like, yes, you traded it. You got, let's say, better security in the mm-hmm. cloud, but you made dependency to that cloud or
yes.
a lock-in. Is there a way to avoid this dependency or avoid the locking in the cloud, right? In my view, I think this is something that companies should not be concerned about, because of course you can have a multi-cloud strategy and multi-cloud deployment. Of course you can have your application seamlessly going from one cloud to another, but to design that kind of application will cost you way more than going all in into one selected cloud. And what is the benefit from your business if you can just switch application from one cloud to another? It's the application is still doing the same thing, just on a different platform. So there is no benefit from your business. You have this impression like I have lowered the risk that I can move around, but
which risk you would need to look
exactly.
at which risk. And I think, well, let's quickly look at that, because it's one of these things that come up also, exactly this one. So let's say you would be not switching now on-prem. Let's say you have a multi-cloud and it's, you know, mm-hmm. let's say you picked Microsoft and Amazon. Well, they're still both US companies, and you would still have the data risk, in my view, because that's primarily in from US, or at least that's the perceived, I think, the mm-hmm. relevant discussion. So there you wouldn't solve that, but you would have some kind of, let's say, redundancy of switching, but
yes.
that you anyway have with, you know, anything else. And you would need to see how relevant is it to switch cross cloud, versus cross-region or just availability zone, you know, that discussion. But let's say there is somehow an important to switch or you think between vendors. Okay, first of all, you should see, do you want to have a hybrid? So you have on-prem and a cloud. Well, okay, maybe. Okay, you need to dig into that. But let's also dig into why would you have two cloud vendors, both in the US? Now, what is it solving and what not? So the data, I would say not. But you want to switch over from one vendor to another. Why? That one, I think, is a very loose argument. It could be around feelings around prices. But this is, I think...
It could be that, let's say, companies believe that... if you have two cloud vendors and one changes the pricing strategy, for example, increases prices for whatever reason, you'll have option and you'll be in a better position than to maybe negotiate with the that company to lower the prices because otherwise you move your stuff to another cloud. Is that a realistic scenario? Is that going to happen? I don't really think so.
The other
risk might be that you're thinking, well, you know, companies go bust. Right. It happens, right?
Right.
And if you have two cloud vendors, and if one goes out of the business, you're there with the second one, and you're fine. Is this realistic scenario?
No.
Is this a risk? Because if a company size of Microsoft or Google or Amazon goes out of the business, I think something major has happened in the world.
And probably your business already went bust.
Yes, probably. You're already way in the history. And with the millions of customers that these vendors have and numbers of years of experience, I don't think this is a high risk, and it is there. For me, the biggest risks that the companies have are the... and that is, for me, the biggest dependency, I would say. And that is the skills dependency. So, doesn't matter about your feelings, one cloud, this cloud, that cloud, multi-cloud, where you're really locked in or highly dependent is your internal skills and people. So if you have a high feelings and see a huge value using Amazon, for example, as your cloud vendor, but your internal IT department is fully trained and is using Google Cloud, you are going down the Google Cloud road.
Absolutely.
Right? Because this is where your dependency is. Of course, there is a transition to Amazon. You can fire your internal IT team, hire another one, train them, and yes, good luck. 2 years from now, you might be starting migration to Amazon then. So that risk and that dependency, I think for me, is the highest one. So, talking about cloud lock-in, cloud dependency, I would even maybe avoid that. I would even put off the table. It is something that people like to discuss over a coffee, but in a real life, I think it's just stopping you from innovation, stopping you from agility, letting your competitors fly by who are not having these conversations, who decided that they're gonna go all in with one cloud vendor. Accept the risks that are out there, but also acknowledge that those risks are very low comparing to their business going out of the market if they still run around in this circle between which cloud, how many clouds, and so on.
Yeah, for sure, and I think that's exactly the thing here where you would start with looking at these risks. I mean, you can talk over a coffee, like you say, and we can discuss, you know, what's the likelihood of what's the likelihood of Amazon being there, you know, and you know, just fast forward, not to spend, you know, too much time on this here. You quickly can distill just a few of these risks that are relevant to look at, and then you know, general ones, and then you can look at your business and maybe add a few more that are relevant when we're talking about cloud and your IT landscape. So everything which is, to me, you know, cloud vendors going bust, these are really like in the most unlikely tier, because the world would have had to change so fundamentally different. If you don't know what's happening in the broader landscape in business globally today, you missed out that Amazon, Microsoft, Google are three of the companies that are taking over the world on many fronts. So they're not going to go away in this world that we know today, which means also their clouds are not going to go away because they're building on top of their IT infrastructure. So these are going to stay. Now to the costs. I mean, that's again somebody in my view that didn't understand what's happening. I mean, obviously these companies, especially public cloud, they need to be competitive and they're competing against each other. Yeah. And if you're looking at, you know, cost curves for IT, for hardware, for clouds, they're declining cost curves. And it's not like, you know, they are scheming and they have a plan now to onboard a lot of businesses and then they're gonna, you know,
spike up the cost,
you know, quadruple the cost. This is not where, you know, the way this works. You know, they're earning a lot of money and they want to just scale out the business. And they want to drop the cost, but they are going to upsell you managed services and run more and more scale. And this is good business already, that you don't need to have an evil plan where you're going to really screw somebody over. That's not going to happen. So the costs are not relevant on that side to think about. And I want to add one more thing on the costs where this misconception comes in. Because it's not like you're comparing to zero. So first of all, you don't have this evil scheme risk. This doesn't exist. The other thing which is a problem is that you don't have a zero cost today. First of all, you have on-prem. That's a massive cost. You have a lot of operational costs and, you know, very much inflexibility and all kinds of costs that maybe you're not even quantifying in terms of how stuck you are as a company and not able to be agile and move fast into the market and capture actually value in the marketplace. But even more so, I mean, you have all these hidden costs, you know, around security, losses on maybe not having ability to hire the best people because you're not using the right stack. I mean, we touched on this previous as well. There's a lot of these things that, you know, you would need to compare against. You would need to see, okay, so you think there's going to be potentially some disadvantage. I mean, it's not like Google has the same pricing as Amazon, as Microsoft. I mean, some things are cheaper with one vendor and it might change, it might stay and so on. But the difference here, you don't need to care about, even if you're the biggest companies in the world, because they are dwarfed by all these other costs that you have around security, around inflexibility, around not able to innovate, not being able to be agile and move fast as a business, but also just think about the landscape you have internally, the costs you're paying just thinking about these topics, I mean, and the whole organization around figuring out, you know, on-prem or cloud. I mean, there's a bill to this as well, which is, you know, not just going to be in a few hundreds or thousands, it's in hundreds of thousands.
Yeah.
And the last thing I want to just add on cost is, the multi-cloud is massively expensive and it's going to dwarf any, you know, rounding errors in the differences between the cloud vendors.
It is, because I mean, first you have to, for the multi-cloud, you need to have a multi-teams.
Multi-skills, multi-teams.
So the people that, I mean, I have been personally using AWS for the last 5 years and I still think I know a little bit of that cloud,
right? Even if we know a lot, so that's the thinking.
I mean, now imagine me going to, I don't know, Microsoft Azure now and start learning that cloud from scratch. It would take me years to get there. Now the same will happen with your internal IT teams. If you have a team that is trained on Amazon cloud, you can't retrain. I mean, they don't have time to be retrained on something else. They
and maybe not interested.
No, of course not interested, but also they don't have time even to pick up with what is happening, pace of innovation of that cloud.
Exactly.
Now imagine the second one. So you need to have a different team. So it is double cost and people are the most expensive resource that you have internally.
Exactly.
So I would say, of all the companies I have seen using the cloud, the most innovative, the most disruptive ones are the those that went all in with one cloud and used the cloud native latest and greatest that this cloud can offer to build their a business application. The ones that are living in fear are using very low level services that are not much different to what they have on premise. They're not reaping any kind of benefits of the cloud that they're using. They live in this sort of like safe and ideal illusion that in case one cloud goes down, will be easily moved to another cloud.
Yeah, and sorry to interrupt there, but that's so important because that's usually what happens when you are compromising. It's a big compromise. It's mm-hmm. where you are on-prem, which is virtual service, and then you copy paste these to a cloud, and then you talk about multi-cloud, maybe not really understanding what risks you should be looking at, and then you have basically the lowest common denominator, so meaning the lowest possible capabilities you are picking, while your competition can keep completely other, and they will, capabilities to execute Absolutely. And capture, you know, value in the market and provide great products and services to customers. You are picking, you know, a multiplier, and it's not linear. So you have multi-cloud, maybe on-prem, you have lowest common denominators.
Which is at the end, which are virtual machines. And yeah. the virtual machines are nothing. That's a 20 years old technology.
Yeah, more than that. Yeah,
or maybe absolutely. More than that, but you're really not getting any kind of benefits there. In general, clouds are incompatible between each other. I mean, the API of one cloud is totally different to API of another. Right. Even though they offer similar services in the area.
Conceptually,
right. but in the details, they're totally different.
Yes.
If we start with just like networking, how do you connect to cloud? How do you do internal networking? All those concepts within the clouds are different. So there is no building something that can easily jump from cloud native in one cloud to cloud native in another. That doesn't exist. You need yes. to design for one cloud using all the services that are there. And going back to the topic of this discussion, is there a cloud lock-in? Is there a cloud dependency? Absolutely yes, that there is. And there is, but it is also something that people should not be worried about.
Yeah, in a general case, and that's the thing, like it's look at the risks. I mean, obviously it's like for the majority of everything, small and large, it doesn't matter. What you want is to be agile as a business, meaning you want to be moving very fast and innovate and create value for your customers. That's number one. And in order to do that today, you need to be online and you need to build on top of tools that are very high up, and cloud is one of these fundamental layers that have a few tiers, you know, cloud native being on the top, let's say. But definitely you don't want to be, you know, disadvantaged, handicapped as a business yeah. by choosing some very primitive building blocks while your competition is choosing something different. And then your customers are going to be unhappy because you're moving so slow that they're anyway going to choose somebody else. Plus that you're in the meantime paying, you know, 5 to 10 times more than what you would need to by solving some imaginary risks in general. Having said that, obviously you could say, I'm in a business where this data and compliance regulation is a very tricky thing. Mm-hmm. There are changes happening. We have maybe seen a few things happening. So I need to think about that. Okay, then it just comes into, it depends, you know, what exactly is it?
Exactly. I mean, that goes into more than legal discussion, where also a lot of questions come up, like, is that really the regulation that is coming on the country level, or is it something that internal legal team within the company has implied yes. to be used? I've seen a lot of these discussions where IT departments were saying like, oh, we can't move to the cloud because of this and this and this regulation, which turned out it's not a really regulation. It's something that the internal legal department demands of IT to fulfill. But so basically companies are stomping and hindering themselves,
yes.
shooting themselves in the foot and trying to run with the speed of startups, and you can't. I mean,
it's
you're handicapped, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. This is such an important thing. And of course, it's not us now saying here, you know, with our engineering hat that legal and these people don't matter. That's not the thing.
Yeah.
The thing what we're saying is that the legal person should sit at the table with the CEO, with the CIO and CTO and these guys, and they would need to figure it out so that they can optimize it, not compromise, but optimize it for their business. Yeah, so you can't have legal just working on their own and obviously doing a great job, but not considering business considerations or even technical considerations. Mm-hmm. And the same, you can't have business doing the same without knowing legal, knowing data, knowing technical topics. And obviously the same for the last, you know, for technical people, can't just do technical stuff without really knowing what should the business do and what's the legal landscape looking like. So otherwise, you know, we're just getting into obviously what many companies have, that they're in a compromised situation and in a very suboptimal, which is, you know, handicapped for the whole business to really execute and be competitive. And that's a big problem. Yeah.
Yeah. So the point, the best is people get together, discuss, see what are the real risks. Are there any real risks happening? And I would say, with that, sort of to wrap up this episode, cloud locking or cloud dependency, yes, it exists. The question is, what is the trade-off? Do you want to get stuck into these kind of discussions and not realize the business agility and the speed of innovation that comes with these cloud vendors? And it is a really like waiting. Which risk is higher for you, to go out of the business because you don't want to go all in with one cloud, or accept that going all in with one cloud vendor will bring you the most of the benefits and just go with it?
Right? Yeah, indeed, it's that. It's just laying out your business and looking at the benefits, what you get, looking at the risks, and looking at, you know, on the priority order, and then just looking at how can you mitigate them that are relevant, and the rest you can just realize that you get so many things as a benefit that, you know, net, it's an obvious decision how you go about it, you know, in general. Yeah.
Good. Yeah. Well, with that, thanks for listening. I hope it was an interesting discussion, and we'll have some more topics coming along soon.
Yeah, definitely. And we're going to take, you know, various bits and pieces from this topic here, or let's say the touch points, especially around the legal topics and data. It's a big, interesting thing. We are going to get some interesting guests here and start talking a little bit more in detail for that.
So get locked in into Cloud Couch.
Yeah, exactly. That's the only lock-in that's important. Okay. Yeah. Thanks.
Thanks.
So if this is a relevant topic for your business, just contact us so that we can help you.
If you like what we are doing, please subscribe to our channel and like our videos.
And also, you can give us feedback and also suggestions for topics that you would like us to discuss and go into more detail.
In any case, stay tuned and see you soon.